came out of the Philistine camp. His height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head and wore a coat of scale armour of bronze weighing 5,000 shekels. On his legs, he wore bronze greaves, and a bronze javelin was slung on his back. His spear shaft was like a weaver's rod, and its iron point weighed 600 shekels. His shield bearer went ahead of him. Goliath stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why do you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? Are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight and kill me, we will become your subjects. If I overcome him and kill him, you will become our subjects and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other." On hearing the Philistine's words, Saul and all the Israelites were dismayed and terrified. For 40 days the Israelites came forward every morning and evening and took his stand.
Thank you. So there's the scene. These two armies. You've got the Philistine army, the baddies, and the Israelite army, the goodies. They're lined up on these two hills, and between them there's a valley. Then out from the army of the Philistines comes this great bloke, this great big bloke, who he's about 3 metres tall. That's in old money, 9 foot. And he's huge, and he's impressive. Okay, simple question. Who's scared and who's brave at this moment? Go on. Who's scared? I don't mean you guys, I mean the people in the drama. You might be scared to answer the question, but honestly, that's the least of your worries. The brilliant. Thank you. Thank you, Lara. The Philistines are brave and the Israelites are really scared. Why? Pardon me? Because the Philistines have got a great big hairy scary hero. And they're getting their faith, their courage from their hero, yeah? And because the Israelites haven't got a matching great big hairy scary hero like the other guys have, they're scared witless. Okay? So scene one in this drama, enter Goliath. Scene two, enter David, and Noah is going to come and read this next chunk for us. Thank you, Noah.
Now the Israelites have been saying, "Do you see how this man keeps coming out? He comes out to defy Israel. The king will give great wealth to the man who kills him. He will also give him his daughter in marriage and will exempt his family from taxes in Israel." David asked the men standing near him, "What will be done for the man who kills this Philistine and removes this disgrace from Israel? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" They repeated to him what they had been saying and told him, "This is what will be done for the man who kills him." What David said was overheard and reported to Saul, and Saul sent for him. David said to Saul, "Let no one lose heart on account of this Philistine. Your servant will go and fight him." Saul replied, "You are not able to go out against this Philistine and fight him. You are only a young man, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant has been keeping his father's sheep. When a lion or a bear came and carried off a sheep from the flock, I went after it, struck it, and rescued the sheep from its mouth. When it turned on me, I seized it by its hair, struck it, and killed it. Your servant has both the lion and the bear, has killed both the lion and the bear. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, because he has defied the armies of the living God. The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the stream, put them in the pouch of his shepherd's bag, and with his sling in his hand, approached the Philistine. Meanwhile, the Philistine, with his shield bearer in front of him, kept coming closer to David. He looked David over and saw that he was little more than a boy, glowing with health and handsome, and he despised him. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. "Come here," he said, "and I give your flesh to the birds and the wild animals." David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I'll strike you down and cut off your head. This very day I'll give the carcasses of the Philistine army to the birds and the wild animals, and the whole world will know that there is a God in Israel. All those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands."
Thank you. Thank you very much, Noel. Okay. Enter David. Who's scared and who's brave? In the story, yeah? Who's scared and who's brave?
Israelites are scared.
Exactly. No change. There's no change in the emotional state of either the Philistine army and the Israelite army, even though David, their champion, their hero, had stepped onto the battlefield alone. They still... The Philistines had faith in their hero Goliath, and the Israelites at this point had no faith in their hero David. Why?
Because Goliath was huge and David was little.
Exactly. Goliath looked super impressive. Up against this little tiny guy, David. Let's say he's a teenager. Let's say he's about the same fitness level as Jordan. And they've heard what he said, but they have got no confidence at all. They think David is toast. This is game over. So part one, enter Goliath, and the Israelites go, mm-hmm. Part two, enter David, and the Israelites still go, mm-hmm. Okay. Part three, exit Goliath, Abbey.
As the Philistine moved closer to attack him, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet him. Reaching into his bag and taking out a stone, he slung it and struck the Philistine on the forehead. The stone sank into his forehead and he fell face down onto the ground. So David triumphed over the Philistine with a sling and a stone. Without a sword in his hand, he struck down the Philistine and killed him. David ran and stood over him. He took hold of the Philistine's sword and drew it from the sheath. After he killed him, he cut off his head with a sword. When the Philistines saw that their hero was dead, they turned and ran. Then the men of Israel and Judah surged forward with a shout and pursued the Philistines to the entrance of Gath and to the gates of Ekron. Their dead were strewn across the Shaaraim road to Gath and Ekron. When the Israelites returned from chasing the Philistines, they plundered their camp. David took the Philistine's head and brought it to Jerusalem. He put the Philistine's weapon in his own tent. As Saul watched David going out to meet the Philistine, he said to Abner, commander of the army, "Abner, whose son is that young man?" Abner replied, "As surely as you live, your majesty, I don't know." The king said, "Find out whose son this young man is." As soon as David returned from killing the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with David still holding the Philistine's head. "Whose son are you, young man?" Saul asked him. David said, "I'm the son of your servant, Jesse of Bethlehem."
Brilliant, thank you. Okay, you'll notice the detail in the slide. He's now got blood coming out of his forehead, a bit of guts and eyeballs for you. Someone said about this story about Goliath when the stone hit him, such a thing had never entered his head before. Okay, same question. Who's scared now? Who's brave now?
The Philistines are scared. Run! And the Israelites are brave. Charge. Why? Why? Because Goliath is toast and David's got his head in his hand to prove it. Yeah? So their emotional state had switched in an instant from petrified fear to overwhelming faith and courage. Simply because their hero delivered on his promises. That's the story in three parts. What's he got to say to us today? Film review, okay? Film review. First question. Why was the Israelite army so scared at first? They had no faith. They were petrified with fear because they were confident that they were sure that it was game over. Because their enemies had a huge, scary hero, and they didn't. When we were thinking earlier on about all the things that we're scared of, spiders, needles, heights, peer pressure, death, etc., 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 the list goes on and on and on. And we also said that the Bible's analysis of those fears at their root are because we are scared of death. Little bit of culture for you. Have any of you come across a poem called The Ancient Mariner? Blank face. Yes? Yes. Okay, so it's a brilliant poem. Let me quote you some lines. My dad taught me these lines from the poem The Ancient Mariner many, many years ago, and they stuck in my head. One of the few things that my dad said to me stuck in my head. Here it goes. Like one who on a lonesome road doth tread, and having once turned, walks on, and turns no more his head, because he knows that close behind some frightful fiend doth tread. He knows that death is pursuing him. And he's running away, scared. And we're all like that. We're all exactly like the Israelite army were at the beginning of this drama. Second question. What did the Israelite army do to kill Goliath? Nothing. They did nothing. The hard work was done for them. They just watched as their unlikely little hero risked his life and took Goliath out. They did nothing. Third question. What made their fear turn to faith so that they could beat their enemies? Because they did. The Philistine army just were scared, rigid, and they ran, and the Israelite army ran after them, and they beat them. They won the war. What was it made their fear turn to faith so they could beat their enemies? Good. A bit more. Go on. They saw what David did. They saw what their hero did. They saw David risk his life and come back victorious with the head of the enemy hero in his hands. And when they saw what their hero did, and they put their faith in their newfound hero, they found the courage to fight. They found their fears, all of their fears, evaporated in a moment, and they went into battle, and they returned victorious, all because they saw what their hero did. I'm sorry, I'm stuck on blue tack everywhere here on this. I hope you didn't want that again. Let me read you a verse from Hebrews chapter 2, which I think applies the story to us right here and right now. Hebrews 2:14 reads like this: "Since the children have flesh and blood," that's us, "he too," that's Jesus, "shared in their humanity, so that by his death he might break the power of him who holds the power of death, that is the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death." The hero of the story of David and Goliath is David, who points us to the ultimate hero that the Bible speaks of. And his name is Jesus. And as we said, every one of us, whether it's spiders, needles, or whatever, or vomiting, that's the gross one, whatever it is, the root of it is a fear of death. But if you know that your hero, your unlikely hero, who didn't just risk his life against Satan on that night, but alone gave his life on the cross, and in so doing crushed Satan and decapitated him and brought his head back. If you were able to see that, and you knew that he did that for you, you could face anything. You could face anything. If you know that Jesus now controls everything and has done everything for you at the cost of his own life, he has destroyed him who has the power of death, that is the devil, and he has freed those who all their lives were held in slavery by their fear of death. Every one of us needs a fear killer. And every one of us needs a faith giver. And the Bible is all about Jesus, who's the ultimate fear killer and the ultimate faith giver. So as I close, let me just ask you these two questions, which are on the slide behind me. First of all, where are you in this story? Every one of us in this room this evening is in this drama. We're either, as I say, running scared or resting safe in Jesus. So who is your fear killer? Who is your faith giver? Let me urge you, if you've never considered the Christian faith, what it means that you can face life knowing that Jesus is with you every second of the way, and he will kill all your fears if you put your faith and trust and confidence in him. And he's available to every one of us to just ask him, "Lord, you know what I'm scared of. You know what I'm running scared of all my life. Thank you for dying on the cross for me. Take my fears away and set me free from this slavery." Shall we pray? And then the guys are going to lead us as we sing our final song. Heavenly Father, we thank you that this story that we've looked at this evening of enter Goliath, enter David, exit Goliath, points us to the ultimate hero that we all desperately need, this supreme fear killer for the human race and the supreme faith giver of the human race. We pray, Heavenly Father, that even this night there would be those
in this meeting who embrace what you have done, put their faith and trust in you, and find themselves set free from their fear of death. Do that miracle tonight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Jacob.
Let's stand as we